This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today we are joined by Mr. Jack Towarnicki, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney, having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles. And Mr. Towarnicki, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So tell us, for starters, what's your best advice for workers when it comes to the surprise medical bills?
You bet. So I'm no Boy Scout, but be prepared. A recent Kaiser study reported that almost 40% of insured non-elderly adults said they received an unexpected medical bill in the past 12 months. One in 10 said that bill was from an out-of-network provider. Stop right there. So again, 40% say they received an unexpected bill, but only 10% was a surprise bill and not a network provider. It means that most of the unexpected medical bills are from in-network providers, where the person should have only had to pay their deductible or their copayment or coinsurance. So what do most people mean when they say surprise or unexpected? Well, basically, it means that they really weren't prepared for any out-of-pocket medical expense. And that's not too surprising. Two-thirds of Americans admit, and this really hasn't changed in years, that they live payday to payday. In other words, about almost 70% consistently say that they are somewhat or significantly unprepared to meet everyday financial needs if their next paycheck was delayed, and just delayed 1 week. Yeah, delayed, not missed, and just 1 week. There's a survey from the Federal Reserve does every year shows that a significant minority of Americans can't even come up with $400 to pay an unexpected or surprised medical bill. So it's no surprise to see that most Americans have no money set aside for regular out-of-pocket medical expenses, let alone surprise medical bills. And that means we kind of need a strategic response, so we avoid excessive charges that increase the cost to the participant and to the employer.
Really some valuable and important information to get things underway here today. Now, as an employee benefits expert, what advice can you offer employees that is most beneficial regarding their employer-sponsored health plan? I'm sure listeners would really appreciate your input on that.
Well, if your employer already offers a health savings account capable coverage option, you may want to give that serious consideration the next time you can make a change in coverage. Most employers who offer HSA capable coverage as a choice give you the same financial support regardless of whichever healthcare choice you select. If your employer doesn't offer an HSA capable plan, you may want to contact them right now to be sure that you can access that choice tomorrow. Health savings accounts are actually the employee benefit that offers you America's most valuable benefits tax preference. Done right, it'll help you prepare and reduce the impact on your household finances from out-of-pocket expenses. And health savings accounts, savings in a health savings account offers you value today and tomorrow. They can provide for reimbursing your current year out-of-pocket expenses, your out-of-pocket and other premium expenses in retirement. Can even provide you an income in retirement or serve as a survivor benefit. So again, a lot of folks are concerned about potential financial hardship caused by medical bills. 3/4 of Americans, whether they have insurance or not. And again, only a small percentage of folks have any savings specifically set aside for out-of-pocket expenses. So accumulating monies in your HSA account today can reduce your concerns today and tomorrow.
And once again, some helpful input in that regard as well. Now, I thought you had to enroll in a health plan with a high deductible to be eligible to contribute to a health savings account. Is this true? Get into the details on that, on what we need to know.
Yeah, you are. But the question is how high is high? Today, to contribute to an HSA, the plan must have a minimum $1,400 annual deductible. But if you look at like Kaiser studies and other studies, you'll see that the average deductible for employer-sponsored plans was almost $2,400 for a small plan and $1,400 for a large plan. Of course, any deductible is high if you don't have any savings. And that's for, again, regular anticipated medical expenses, let alone a surprise medical bill from an out-of-network provider.
Certainly do appreciate the clarification and all the information shared so far. Very helpful today. We're speaking with Jack Towarnicki, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Health Insurance Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, let's say my employer offers two different PPO options, one with a $600 deductible and the other is HSA capable with a $1,400 deductible. Why would I sign up for the higher deductible option? Talk to us about that.
Sure. Here's a couple of thoughts. First, look at the differences. So the difference in deductibles is $800. What's the difference in your contributions for the coverage? What comes out of your paycheck? And don't forget to consider the employer contribution to the HSA. A plan with a $600 deductible has no employer contribution to the health savings account. Chances are you can fund much of the difference in that deductible with tax-favored health savings account contributions that actually will end up with less of an impact on your take-home pay once you adjust for your regular per-paycheck contributions for health coverage. The second thing to keep in mind is that a substantial minority of Americans don't incur significant out-of-pocket medical expenses in any given year. A Kaiser survey, I like to use Kaiser surveys because they're pretty broad. Two-thirds of Americans had less than $500 in out-of-pocket medical expenses. 27% had no out-of-pocket. 26% had some, but less than $200 out-of-pocket. And 15% had $200 to $500 of out-of-pocket medical expenses. So if that is you, that, you know, minority of folks, two-thirds of Americans, I should say majority of folks, who didn't have significant out-of-pocket expenses, not much difference between a $600 deductible and a $1,400 deductible, except for the difference in your contributions, which is likely to be much higher for the plan with the lower deductible.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense, and thanks for once again, the input. Now, given that the employer spend is usually the same for all coverage options, why would they offer HSA capable coverage?
Well, informed choice has a lot of value. Well-informed is part of being well-prepared. Preparation means that the person, the participant, can act like a consumer. Too frequently, once a person becomes a patient, expenses no object, basically. Consumers have very diverse needs, so one size or a single coverage option typically won't optimize the outcome for everyone. Importantly, employee contributions to health savings accounts are pre-tax for federal, state, Social Security, and Medicare hospitalization insurance purposes. So employees can take advantage of that tax-favored savings, prepare for out-of-pocket medical expenses this year and in the future. And if they're lucky enough to have money left over, if they're in good health, for example, HSA monies can provide additional income in retirement or a survivor benefit. When folks actually have some control over their finances, they're more likely to be prepared for emergencies and unexpected expenses and the like. They're happier, less anxious, and more empowered. So here, saving in an HSA is kind of like control, and that control means preparedness and anticipatory savings. It also means that a person, when they're spending their own money, is more likely to investigate their healthcare providers for quality and for price in advance of using their services. Some folks call this financial well-being.
Once again, Mr. Towarnicki, we really do appreciate all the information shared. I'm sure our listeners have found it to be most helpful. And some of this information can be put into practice like tomorrow. So really do appreciate your joining us here today to set us straight. As we conclude, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to add along the lines of our conversation today?
Yes. So it's been 12 years since President Obama signed the health reform law into law. And following that, most employers who were already offering coverage, and the coverage generally exceeded what health reform required, most employers only did what they had to do in order to comply with the new law. So when I met with employers, there was often a shrug of the shoulders and maybe a deep sigh, and they'd ask this question: well, what do we have to do now to comply? If your employer's response to the No Surprises Act and transparency laws is simple compliance, soon and very soon, both your employer and participating workers will see their health care costs increase. It's time for you to call on, you know, the experts who deal with this stuff every day. I work for one of those firms, Aclium Health, and we can help you prepare a strategic response, one that will not only avoid the anticipated increased cost of compliance, but lower the cost net after taxes that employees and their employer pay for coverage and out-of-pocket expenses. Working on a webinar series right now to suggest specific strategic responses. Obviously, the recommendations will vary from employer to employer, but there are options, strategic options, that you should consider.
Beth, certainly appreciate those concluding remarks and for all the information shared here today. Hit that website where listeners can be in contact and take advantage of your services offered.
It's aequiumhealth.com, AequiumHealth.com.
And of course, we'll leave those links and link within the show notes of this broadcast to further aid the audience as well. Mr. Twornicki, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. Jack Twornicki, an ERISA employee benefits compliance and planning attorney, having over 40 years of experience in human resources and plan sponsor leadership roles. And for all the details, visit AequiumHealth.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.